truth is, there's not much Mesiras Nefesh driving on a morning like this morning. Usually when I come out to Long Island, there really is Mesiras Nefesh just trying to get here. But Baruch Hashem, the roads are wide open. And again, it's a great credit to Rabbi Schechter for wanting to ensure that you should maximize your Torah learning time. And I hope you appreciate how much he cares about every bit of Torah that you're able to absorb in your lives. The topic this morning, I believe the official title was Separate but Equal is There Room for Healthy Self-Expression in Our Service of God? That's a loaded question, and it's a delicate question. I want to start from where we're emerging from, which is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Because the Yom Tov of Chanukah presents us with an opportunity to think about individuality in a very interesting way. Over Chanukah, we read the Karbanos of the Nesiim. And over and over and over again, the laning of Chanukah. Very interesting, the Svarim HaKadoshim, Sefer Chassidus, point out that there are 89 psukim in total that are read over the course of Chanukah. 89, of course, is the gematria of the word Chanukah. So the laning is very much in line with the Yom Tov itself. And we read about the gifts that the Nesiim are bringing. From Aleph Nisan, starting with the Nasi of Shevi Yehuda, all the way through Yud Beis Nisan, the Nasi of Shevet Naphtali, from Nachshon ben Aminadav to Achira ben Einan. And each Nasi, each and every Nasi brings the exact same Karban LaHashem. And we know the laning. We have it ringing in our heads still from Chanukah, those of us who had the opportunity to hear the laning. And we know each one brought a silver bowl that was 130 shekel, and it was filled with flour, which would be used for a mincha. And each one brought a silver basin, 70 shekel, also filled with flour, and a golden ladle, which was the weight of 10 shekel. And that had incense in it, which would be used. And then all the animals as well, a bull, a ram, a sheep, and a goat for a chatas. And then Luzevach HaShlamim, Bakar Shnayim, right, as it wraps up, 2 cattle, a ram, 5 goats, 5 sheep. And each Nasi, each of the 12 Nasi, and we go through each day, Karbana, Karas Kesef Achas, right? And over and over and over again, we read about the Nasi, and each one listed by name, listed by Shevet. And yet it tells us that each one brought the exact same thing. The Ramban tells us, the Midrashim discuss, how really the Nesiim thought, since we're all bringing the same thing, we might as well bring it all at once. Everyone should come on the same day, and we should offer our carbon to Hashem. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, I want each of you to have your own day. I want Shevet Yehuda to have its own day. And according to the way that they traveled, each Shevet over the first 12 days of Nisan would bring their carbon. And that way, Chizkuni and others explain, each Nasi would be given a certain chashivas, and each offering would be given a certain chashivas, and each day would be recognized, and we'd be able to extend the celebration of these gifts that the Nasiim were bringing. But it's very interesting to think that, again, here you have 12 people, each one trying to offer a gift to the Mishkan to celebrate, and yet each one brings the exact same thing, or so it seems on the surface. You look again in the Midrash, and you look in the words of the Ramban, and we find something very, very remarkable. And that is, while each Nasi superficially brought the exact same carbon, the exact same measures, the exact same, the silver was the silver and the gold was the gold, and the animals were exactly the same animals, each Nasi. Yet the Ramban says, again based on Midrashim, that each Nasi had a different kavana in bringing his gift. Which means he could have 12 people, again superficially every single one doing the same thing, while at the same time, none of them were doing the same thing. Each one was bringing a carbon LaHashem. He was infusing it with his own individualized kavana, his own intentions, and the Midrashim spend a lot of time. You look in the Midrashim don't just tell us that this was this way, the Midrashim actually tell us, oh, why did Yehuda get to go first? Why was Yehuda selected to go first? And what was his kavana? Right? And it goes to each of the Nesiim telling us why was each one selected in the order they were selected, beyond the fact that they traveled in that order. Why were they selected to present in that order? And what was the kavana? What did this one have in mind when he brought that ladle, right? That weighed 10 shekel. What did this one have in mind when he brought that bowl weighing 130 shekel, made out of silver? And each one with an individualized kavana, each one offering something that was unique and precious to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It reminds me of the first karbanos ever brought. You go back to Bereishis Perek Dalet, the story of Cain and Hevel. And the Torah tells us that Chava becomes pregnant. She gives birth to Cain. She gives birth to Hevel. And the Torah tells us, again, Bereishis Perek Dalet, this is Pasuk Beis, Vayihi Hevel Roe Tzon, V'Kayin Haya Oved Adama. Each one had his own avoda. Hevel was involved with animals. Cain was a person who worked the field. And it was that the time came, the season for offering a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and they decided to bring a gift. So they each brought their gift. Vayevi Kain mipri adama mincha laHashem. Kain brought an offering from his fields. Vehevel gevi gamhu mibechoras sono mechalveh. And Hevel, of course, brought from his animals. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel veel minchaso. And very tragically, we know at the end of the story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, is very moved by Hevel's offering. Veel Kain veel minchaso lo sha'a. But Hashem doesn't turn. Hashem sha'a means to turn. Hashem doesn't pay any attention. Neither to what? Neither to Kayin nor to his mincha. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired Hevel's offering? Was it just that it was more valuable, was more expensive, which it was, because he was bringing animals as opposed to bringing from the grains of the field? Is it the fact that Kayin brought from the cheaper items from the field, while Hevel brought the best of his sheep? That's also true. But many, 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 many Mefarshim point out, Kotzker Rebbe makes a comment like this, or Meir Premishlaner, or Uri Estralis, many of the Sefer Hasidus highlight this in particular, but even amongst Rishonim, you find allusion to this idea, that the Pasuk says, Vehevel hevi gam hu. Hevel brought himself. Hevel brought himself. Because the essence of giving a carbon to Hashem, it doesn't really matter so much in terms of the outer trappings of what we're offering a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Nesiyim taught us you could have 12 people bringing the exact same thing. But if you don't infuse it with a sense of self, if you don't give over yourself, the Hevel Hevi Gam Hu, he also brought Hevel. He gave of himself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why his carbon was so desirable to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We live in a world today which is very self-centered, where people are very focused on themselves, on the right of the individual. You talk about any country that's half civilized. There's a lot of discussion, again, in politics and in public opinion making and the like. And there's a lot of discussion about the rights of the individual and defending the right of the individual. And as Jews, that's not necessarily a bad thing. In Yiddishkeit, that has a place. We talk about the right of the individual to serve Hashem, not just to be Klal Yisrael in this broad kind of sense. And not only just to be assigned by our particular Shvatim, but to focus on the individual in Avodas Hashem. Now obviously there's a tremendous danger that comes with a person who says, I'm not interested in really seeing myself within the context of Sibur. I want to see myself as an individual, and period. There's a very great danger when a person goes off on his own, and it's not too many moves away from a person who becomes so independent that they create their own religion and they corrupt the values of Torah. But that notion, that basic notion that there are rights of an individual, and that there should be a desire to find one's individual expression in the Avodas Hashem, is a very healthy thing, and we daven for it all the time. Sein chalkenu b'sorasecha, that a person should be able to find his chelek in Torah. The Yevanim, in fact, one of the famous Midrashim tell us, again coming out of the world of Hanukkah, is that one of the decrees the Yevanim made was kisvu al keren hashur she'ein lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. The Yevanim wanted that each Jew should write on the horn of an ox, of his ox, in his field, whatever that meant. Again, there's a lot of interpretations of what a strange notion that was, that the Yevanim said dafka to write, specifically to write on the horn of an ox, but to declare, to write, Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael, that I don't have a chelek, I don't have a portion in the God of Israel. But again, that notion that Yevon was attacking the chelek, that each person has a chelek, that each Jew has an individual chelek in Avodas Hashem. And all those chalakim obviously come together to create the entirety of what it means to be the Jewish people. But again, to recognize that there is a place, and the same way that we see, again, this trend in the world, the right of the individual being so much a focus, again, of public policy, right? It's an expression that it has a place in the spiritual world as well. That there should be a sense, a desire for one to feel one's own Yiddishkeit, to express my own Yiddishkeit, to feel that the things that I'm doing matter. To be excited about my Judaism because I feel that as an individual, the things that I am going to do and the unique way in which I'm going to do it actually matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I'm not just going to do what everyone else does, and I'm going to be able to operate within a framework of what everyone else does, but like the Nesiyim who brought the same carbon over and over and over again, each one with his own kavana, each one really being able to give of himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what makes it exciting. That's part of the challenge of Hanukkah. You read these psukim and you're thinking to yourself, why do I need to read it over and over and over again? Right? And the answer is because we're taking a test on Hanukkah. When we listen to the laning on Hanukkah, we're testing ourselves. Can I hear the same thing over and over again and still be excited about it? Can I do the same mitzvah night after night? And even if I just add a drop more light, is it still exciting? Is the second night of Hanukkah as exciting as the first night? Is the third night as exciting as the second night? Can I continue to serve Hashem over and over again? doing essentially the same thing, davening the same Shemona Esrei over and over again, but no Shemona Esrei is really the same as the previous one. A very earnest Ben Torah once came to the Chazon Ish. This is recorded in the biographical work, the Maisa Ish, in the fourth volume. Came to the Chazon Ish and asked the Chazon Ish the following question, in earnest, asked the following question. He said, I could live in a community where I'll be able to have all of the religious luxuries. I'll have the finest and most kosher food, the greatest options in terms of Shmiras HaMitzvos. Everything will be Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, right, and every Chumra will be followed. But I'm concerned that if I live in that particular community, well, again, while I'll be able to have that lofty level of religious observance come to me with ease, I'm concerned that there's a certain coldness, there's a certain staleness in the Avodas Hashem, in the way that people practice their Torah there. Or I can live in a community where I won't have all those religious luxuries. It'll be harder for me to find the most kosher lulav and esrog and the most kosher matzah. And I may not have, mahadrim and a mahadrim and a mahadrim of everything and anything. But it's a place where people are passionate about their Yiddishkeit. Where's the better community to live? And the Chazon Ish said back to this fellow, when it comes to kriras, when it comes to coldness, when there's a lack of warmth in one's spirituality, the Chazon Ish said about such a thing, we say it's yahareg va'al yavor. It's a matter of life and death. Spiritual coldness, a person who doesn't feel energized by his service of Hashem, God forbid, that can make the greatest difference in the world, said the Chazon Ish. And therefore he said it in such strong terms, it's a matter of yareg val yavor. You need to live in the community which is spiritually warm, even if it means it's going to be more difficult for you to have, again, those religious luxuries. Where does a coldness in Avodas Hashem come from? Where does that spiritual apathy come from? It comes from the sense that I'm just part of a tzibur, and as an individual, I don't really matter. Because even if I don't go to shul, people will still go to shul. And even if I don't learn Torah, people will still learn Torah. Even if I don't do chesed, people will still do chesed. We trust the Jewish people, Baruch Hashem. There's a lot of people who will pick up the slack. But again, that's a dangerous way to look at ourselves. To not look at our individualized chelek, which again is still part of a larger picture, but to be able to identify our individual chelek. And that's what the Nesiim came to teach us. That every single Nasi could bring the same karban over and over again. But to realize that every single karban was entirely unique, and unique offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baal Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, Zechuso Yegen Aleinu, had a chassid whose name was Rav Shmuel Minkus. There's a lot of great stories about Rav Shmuel Minkus. One time Rav Shmuel was walking in the street and he passed by a malamed, a teacher of young children. And he asked him, he said to this malamed, tell me, what are you teaching your students these days? So he said, we're learning Bava Metzia. We're learning Masechas Bava Metzia. He said, oh, I have a question on Bava Metzia. Maybe you can help me. So he says, okay, tell me. So he says, I have this really been bothering me about Bava Metzia. You know, the first mission of Bava Metzia begins, Shnayim Ochsim B'talis, if two people grab onto a talis, and Zeh Omer Ani Metzia, V'Zeh Omer Ani Metzia. This one says, I found it, and the other one says, no, I found it. Zeh Omer Kula Shali, V'Zeh Omer Kula Shali. This one says it's entirely mine, and that one says it's entirely mine. So he says, I notice when I look in my Gemara, when I see the way that Mishnah is printed in a standard edition of the Shas, of the Gemara, I notice that even though it repeats the phrase, Ze Omer Ani Metzasiya, Vize Omer Ani Metzasiya, Ze Omer Kula Shali, Vize Omer Kula Shali, even though they have the exact same phrase being repeated twice, they're both printed in large print. So he says, well, I don't understand your question. He says, well, when I look at my Siddur by Hallel, I notice that the phrases that are repeated, the way it's printed in my Siddur, the first time it's printed in large print, but then it's printed in small print. Right? As we sometimes find in the Siddur. It says, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, and then in small print, repeat, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, and then in small print, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Odecha, ki ani sani vati lishua, and then in small print, Odecha, again, to remind you to repeat it. So he said, I'm very bothered by this question. Why in the Gemara does it print the same phrase twice, and it prints it in large letters, in regular size font, so to speak, and in my Siddur, when it repeats the Pesukim of Hallel, all of a sudden, the second time it's printed in a smaller print. So the Malamed started to laugh. It's a funny kind of question. So he says, I don't know. I don't think I have an answer to this very perplexing question. So Shmuel Minka says, I'll tell you what I think the answer might be. He said, you see, when the two fellows are fighting over the talis, and each one says, Ani Matasiya, I found it. And the other one says, no, I found it. They really believe with all their heart and all their soul that they're the true owner of that talis. Each one really feels and passionately declares, I found the talis. No, I found the talis. The other one says, this is cool, it's kulo shali, it's entirely mine. The other one says, no, it's kulo shali, it's entirely mine. They say with conviction and with passion and with fervor. And therefore we give them the full space that they deserve for their declaration. Unfortunately, in the Hallel, when we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes after I've already said Hodu Hashem Ki Tov once, it's hard to say a second time Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Once I said Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana, it's harder to say with the same fervor and the same passion the second time Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana. And that's perhaps why it says in the Siddur, the print gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you go along. It's a funny answer to a silly question, but it's also a very deep truth. And it's a very deep and true Torah. But the same thing I think is true in our context. That when a Jew feels that my Yiddishkeit is mine, there's a sense of ownership over it, that my individual expression in the service of Hashem matters, so then I express myself with religious fervor and religious commitment and passion. But when I feel that I'm just part of a larger tzibur, and my individual expression as a Jew doesn't really carry much weight, neither in this world nor in the world above, so then slowly, slowly, a person starts, the print gets a little smaller and a little smaller, until the person, unfortunately, doesn't feel that they have a chelek, the okay Yisrael. And that's exactly what the Avanim wanted us to feel. Kisvu lachem al keren ashur she'in lachem chelek, the okay Yisrael, that you don't have an individual portion. Even if the Jewish people as a people are significant. But not every individual counts in their own unique and special way. Tzfas Emes, in Parshas Korach, brings a beautiful teaching from his grandfather, the Chidush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe. To explain a Mishnah that I'm sure many of us have heard in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I am not for me, who will be for me? Ukesha ani la'atzmi. But if a person says, ani la'atzmi, I'm independent, to the point that I'm not interested in anyone else, then ma'ani. Then what good is that? Clearly the Mishnah is telling us you have to strike a balance between being an individual and being part of a larger tzibur. Listen to the way the Tzfas Emes again explains Parshas Korach from his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Arim. Im ein ani li mili. Here's how he explains: Ki kol adam nivra letakein davar miuchad. Every single Jew has to wake up in the morning with the realization that I was sent to this world. My neshama was selected. Not there's no one else in the world who could fill in for me. That I was selected to be sent on a mission letakein davar miuchad. To correct and to achieve something that is entirely unique in this world. She'ein achar yachol etakim. That no one else in the world can achieve. No one else in the world can do chesed in the way that each of us can do chesed. So you'll say, well, hold on a second. I'm reading the new biography of Henny Machlis, and there's no one who can do chesed like Rebbetzin Henny Machlis, Allah Shalom. If you haven't started to read this book, you have to pick up this book and start reading this book. It'll change your life. Right, so chesed's taken, chesed's covered. Person says, okay, I'm going to learn Torah, I've been davening, v'sein chalkinu b'sor asecha, I should have a unique chelok in Torah. And then I say, what am I talking about? Rav Chaim Kanievsky sits in Bnei Brak, he knows everything, so what am I going to possibly add? I'm going to have a novel interpretation of Torah that the Gedolei Ador couldn't think of? Says the Chiddush Arim, yes. A Jew has to believe that there are things that you can achieve in this world. There are unique expressions of Torah and Tefillah and Chesed that only you can achieve, and that's true about every single mitzvah, to breathe into your karban, your offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something of yourself, a Hevel Hevi Gam Hu. Hevel was able to bring himself, that's why Shem was interested in this karban, because he appreciated his own ability to make a difference. And therefore you have to believe that no one else, in the words of the Chiddush Arim, She'ein Acher Yachol Letakin, no one can fill in for you. If we fail to achieve our mission in this world, there is no one who will take our place. Those novel Torah insights, those unique expressions of prayer, that kindness, that sensitivity and generosity of your chesed will never be replaced by anyone in the world. It'll be lost forever. V'chein b'chol zman u'zman, and the same thing is true about every moment in time. January 2nd, 2017, at this time, precisely, only comes once. And the choice you made this morning to spend it learning Torah is a very good choice. And you're etching into time a unique expression, right? Even if someone were in a year from now, right, in the same shul, were to sit and to learn the same piece from the Ger Rebbe, but it's a different thing entirely. It's a different understanding. It's a different world in a year from now. It's a different time, and it's a different place. Even if it seems to be superficially the same place, so every moment in time is a unique moment in time. Every person, every neshama, every opportunity is a unique opportunity. However, warns the Mishnah in conclusion. But there's a danger of a person who says, well, if I'm such an individual, then I don't even need the tzibur. I don't even need to attach myself to others. Im Kol Zeh warns the Chiddush Arim.
Kishani la'atzmi ma'ani warns the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. If I'm independent, that's also very dangerous. Shetzarechol echad levatel chelek prati shalo el haklal. That I need to take my individual portion and attach it back to the tzibur. And with this, I think we have a new understanding of what the Nesiim did. How beautiful that the Nesiim were able to bring the same carbon, each one to offer again, superficially, the same carbon, the same way we all keep Shabbos, and we all keep kosher, and we all daven the same Shmona Esrei, v'chulu, 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 so true about every other mitzvah that we do. There is a framework by which we all operate, and yet there's room for individual expression if it finds itself to express itself in the right and proper way. And again, the person who's passionate about it leaves that writing in big print, so to speak, that it makes a roshim in Shemayim. Like again, like the words of those passionate individuals at the beginning of Maseches Bava Metzi, who say the exact same thing. But they say it with passion, they say it with fervor. And therefore, says Rav Shmuel Minkus, it's printed in the large print in the Gemara. I don't think there's any parsha in Torah that ends off with quite a cliffhanger like the parsha we read this past Shabbos. At that moment where the brothers are standing there, staring at Yosef, who they don't even realize is Yosef, and Binyamin is about to be taken into captivity, and the brothers are crying, and it's a very frightening scene. And Parshas Vayigash begins, Yehuda steps up, and very firmly, very respectfully, but very firmly, he starts to fight on behalf of Binyamin. And you read the Midrashim, he's really threatening Yosef, what he's going to do. He's going to overturn all of Mitzrayim, the same way that Shimon and Levi brought such havoc to Shechem when they fought for Dinah. And Yosef can't control himself anymore, and finally the moment comes for the reconciliation. Yosef and the brothers, such a beautiful moment. I have to wait it out another whole week to get to Shabbos to finally hear the words, but we know the end of the story. Baruch Hashem, there'll be a reconciliation. Everything's going to be great. And it's time to bring Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. Yosef says to the brothers, as they're hitting the road, by the way, my dear brothers, I just want to remind you, on your way back to get Yaakov, to bring our father Yaakov to Mitzrayim, al tirgazu baderach. Don't become agitated on the road. Don't become agitated on the road. Some sound advice as they go to travel. According to some, it's actually a bracha that he's giving them. I'm giving you a bracha that you should have safe travels. That's how the Ramban and the Alshich and the Abarbanel seem to learn it. It's a bracha for an assurance for a safe trip. Al tirgazu baderach. You won't have troubles on the road. You're being sent on a very important mission, and Hashem should protect you, and Hashem will protect you. Rashi has three different interpretations of what Yosef was suggesting or alluding to when he said, Al tirgazu baderach. Don't become agitated on the road. Says Rashi, number one, don't get involved in a dvar halacha. Don't get too busy learning while you're on the road, because unfortunately what sometimes happens, you know, you're driving in the car, you're listening to a really good shir, and even if you have the GPS telling you which exit to take, right, next thing you know, you drove right past the exit. You're listening to this shir and you're so lost in the learning that you miss your stop. So Yosef says, you should be careful, right, that when you're on the road, even if you want to share some divrei Torah, make sure you keep it light, because if it gets into some whole deep sugya, right, you're going to end up getting lost. So al tirgazu baderech, be careful not to get too involved in a dvar halacha on the road. I'll just mention parenthetically, it's interesting, if you look in the Bali Atosos, we have a collection of writings from the Bali Atosos called the Hadar Zakenim. More famous is the Das Zakenim of the Bali Atosos. There's also another volume called Hadar Zakenim from the Bali Atosos, who say the exact opposite of Rashi. The Hadar Zakenim says, Yosef was saying to them, Al tirgazu baderech, you should make sure you don't get too busy on the road, paying attention to the road, that you forget to learn the whole time. There's a mitzvah to learn when you're on the road also. So make sure you spend the whole time learning in addition to being mindful of not getting into an accident on the road. Okay, opposite approaches, and both very relevant to make sure we use our time on the road wise, but we also don't end up getting lost as we travel about. A second pshat, Rashi gives a second pshat. What does it mean, al tirgazu baderech? Don't take big steps on the road. Chazal have a notion that a person who takes large steps, it's harmful for one's eyesight. Again, whether that's a physical or metaphysical reality is an interesting question. And make sure that you pull into a city before sundown. Okay, so again, practical advice of how to travel in a safe way. Al tirgazu baderech, don't get stuck on the road. Make sure you find lodging before sundown. And lastly, says Yosef to his brothers, according to Rashi, Al tirgazu baderech, I know the second you walk out of this room, you're going to start blaming each other. Who is most responsible for the sale of Yosef? So I'm telling you now, I'm not so upset. And this is part of God's master plan. And al tirgazu baderech. And al tirgazu baderech. Don't become agitated or frustrated. Okay, all rise for the Sefer Torah.
thought I said something that insulted everyone. I was getting up to leave. So Yosef says to his brothers, don't blame each other. Al tirzu baderech. I know you're going to start pointing fingers the second you walk out of this room. The whole way home you're going to be fighting. It's not worth it. This is part of Hashem's plan. It's okay. Al tirzu baderech. Again, a lot of good advice that Yosef offered his brothers according to Rashi. And as Rashi tells us, he's always here to tell us pashup pshat. Okay. But yeah, there's a sense that there's a deeper pshat. This is Yosef's message to them. He just revealed himself. Ani Yosef, Ahor Avichai. What's Al Tirgazu Baderach? And how does it give us a larger perspective on the whole Mechira of Yosef and this reconciliation of the brothers? So I saw what I believe is a very fundamental explanation. Really a tremendous yesod in the Vodas Hashem. And especially in light of our topic this morning of being a healthy religious individual that's expressed in those words, Al Tirgazu Baderach, and it's found in the writings of Rabbi Yisrael of Majitz, Divrei Yisrael. The Majitz Rebbe quotes from his grandfather, Rabbi Cheskel of Kuzmir. Kuzmir is a city in Poland. Rabbi Cheskel actually lived a very long life, lived almost 100 years, from 1755 to 1855. And he quotes from his grandfather, who I guess in many ways is the founding father of the Majitz Hasidic dynasty. Majitz is, of course, known for their beautiful Torahs and their beautiful Nagunim. Many Nagunim that we incorporate into our Tfilos come from the world of Majitz. Remarkable, the Rebbes were remarkable singers, and composers of original Nagunim. So the Divrei Yisrael writes in this week's parsha on the words Al Tirgazu Baderech. What was Yosef saying to the brothers? Listen carefully. Perish Al Tirgazu Baderech Ratzalomer Bedarche HaChasidus. Don't become agitated by someone's derech. What does that mean? Don't become frustrated in the way that a person chooses to express their personal piety in their avodas Hashem. Hainu Kesha'ata Ovi La'abori Yisbarach Al Pi Eze Derech. If you choose to serve Hashem in a particular way, because that's what your neshama feels that it needs. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that one of the Amoram, if I'm not mistaken, asked one of his contemporaries, "What was your father's main mitzvah? What was my father's main mitzvah? Yeah, what was he? But my zahir avucha tvei, avucha but my zahir tvei. Your father, what was he particular about? What does that mean to be particular about a mitzvah? I thought we were supposed to do all 613, or whatever our status in life." Male, female, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael allows us to do. What does it mean to have a specialty mitzvah? What was the Gemara even asking? But the answer is that there is a notion of having a special mitzvah. Right? Rav Scheinberg, anyone who ever saw Rav Scheinberg knows that Rav Scheinberg was very into the mitzvah of tzitzis. He wore countless pairs of tzitzis, and he never really explained to anyone why he did that. Now, I'm sure he had a rational explanation that he kept to himself, but I'm sure there was also something about Rav Scheinberg that he sensed in his soul, that I feel a strong connection to this mitzvah. The Noam Elimelech writes in Parshas Noach that every generation has a unique mitzvah. Noam Elimelech says that in his time, the mitzvah was tzitzis. The Chazon Ish said, in our time, the mitzvah is emunah. And Yisivos Shalom writes, again about contemporary times, the Slonim Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says that the main mitzvah of our time is chinuch, is educating our children, to make sure that in the complex world in which we live, we're able to give over the Torah values from one generation to the next. So every generation has its mitzvah. Every soul feels a particular mitzvah. There's base Shammai types of souls, and there's base Hillel types of souls. Some people are always looking for a Chumran, some people are always looking for a Kula. And there's room for those both to express themselves in a healthy way. So says Yosef to the brothers, Al Tirgazu Baderach. Don't become frustrated when you see that you're on a particular derech in Avodas Hashem. Ukasha'ata roa shechavercha ino ovid al derech zeh. And you see that your neighbor, your friend, or your sibling, right, or even your spouse or your child is walking a different derech. It's also within Avodas Hashem. The person's not off the derech, they're just off your derech. They're looking for a different derech in Avodas Hashem. Al Tirgazu. Don't become frustrated by this. Ki har be'drachim yesh ba'avodas habor yisbarach shema. My grandfather taught me, says Rabbi Yisrael Majitzer, that there are many ways in Avodas Hashem. And where did my grandfather get that from? He got it from Yosef at Tzadik. And he goes on to explain, why is Yosef saying this to the brothers right now? Because that's how we got into this mess. How did this whole fight come to be? Because Yosef and the brothers had very different drachim in their avodas Hashem. The reason that Yosef decided to warn them about this right now, in the moment of reconciliation, in the world of Yosef and Yehuda coming together, which by the way, in the deeper Sfarim, that's the world of Mashiach. It's Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Right? The two Mashiachim that are going to bring us to the Gula Shlema, that reconciliation of Jews being able to be separate but equal, to be different but to be so much the same. Yesh lomar ki machlokas hashvatim im Yosef ad shemachru, bevadai lo hayo machlokas bedvarim gashvim.
We can't read the parshios of the Torah, the fights between Yosef and the brothers, and say this was petty sibling rivalry. That would be a terrible crime for us to look at people of this caliber, who are human and made mistakes, but were also big tzaddikim, were very great tzaddikim. They weren't fighting over simple matters of gashmius, that Yosef got a nice coat from the father, and the other brothers didn't. They were arguing on different approaches of, again, how to serve Hashem with piety. Yosef says, from this point forward, we have to learn to respect each other. And I'm committed to it, and I'm asking you to be committed to it. Yosef was very different than the brothers. In the bracha of Yosef, Yosef is described as Nazir Echav. He's like a Nazir. A Nazir is one who is very aloof. He detaches himself from physicality. He's not interested in the pleasures of this world. The brothers and some of the things that they were doing, which Yosef told Yaakov, look what the brothers are up to, were really within the letter of the law. Could certainly be argued as being within the letter of the law. Yosef took a chumrah upon himself. And he was bothered that his brothers were living such regular lives. They were following the letter of the law, not striving for higher levels. So now Yosef says, I'm sorry that I tried to impose my way upon you. But I'm also sorry, and I'm reminding you and warning you, don't try to impose your way upon me. We have to be able to, again, to each find our way. And that's why Yehuda says to Yosef, Al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. Al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. Don't be angry at my avdecha, at my avodas Hashem. Allow us to do our way, and we'll allow you to do your way. And in the end, you'll see this creates for a very, very healthy sense of Klal Yisrael. There's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash describes the moment that Klal Yisrael walked through the sea. That we know that by the Yam Suf it split, and they were able to make their way through on dry land. The Medrash says, in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, that each Shevet walked in its own pathway. Okay, many of us have probably heard that before. Sama Rebbe brings a Medrash Shir Ashirim that says that actually each Jew walked through the Yam. There were 600,000 paths corresponding to the 600,000 Jewish souls. Each Jew walked his own path through the Yam. Okay, fascinating. But I heard a beautiful insight once from the Papa Rav. The Papa Rav said, if you look at the Medrash carefully in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, the Medrash says that while there were walls of water that separated these different channels, let's say of the 12 Shvatim, through the sea, the walls themselves were transparent. So the Papa Rav says, Mimanav Shach. If they're going to be together, so then let them be together. And if they're going to be separate, so make the walls that you can't see from one lane to the next lane. Why would you make walls that you can see right through the walls? So the Papa Rav says, because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. Yes, you have to have your own derech. You have to have your own path in Avodas Hashem. But you should at least be able to look and see what's doing by my neighbor's path. Because maybe there are aspects of the way that he or she lives his or her life that I can incorporate. That doesn't mean I have to adopt their derech entirely. Maybe there's things that the Haredi world can learn from those who label themselves as modern Orthodox and vice versa. There's a lot to learn from various strands of, right? And again, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Beruvim, Kulam Kadoshim, Eilu Ve'elu, Divrei Kim Chaim, Shivim Panim LeTorah. There's many ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yosef is saying, Al Tirgazu B'derech. There are many ways. And we're very different, as the Sfasemis elaborates on in several pieces throughout his writings. That Yosef is Nazir Achav, and he's Ben Zukunim. He's a different category of Jew. Right? But he says to the brothers, we have to learn to respect each other. He says the Papa Rav, the transparent walls, allows a Jew to say, I can forge my own path, and I'm still willing to look towards you, to learn from you. At least to look so I can respect you, and I'm not going to take anything from your path and incorporate it into my world and into my path. And that's what Yosef is telling the brothers. Yes, we all know, as the Chovas HaLevavos says, that this whole sale was Bashkoch Eliona, that the Chovas HaLevavos writes in the Shara Avodas Elokim in the 8th Parak. But Yosef is saying, but we also were involved here, and we both made mistakes. We were both too quick to judge. We didn't respect our individuality. And because of that, I want from this point forward, from the moment of this reconciliation of Yosef and Yehuda, again, which alludes the underpinnings of Mashiach itself, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, I want to make sure that we're going to be able to continue along this path, walking side by side, again, not combining our forces to become one and the same, but to be able to be separate but equal in this way. And that will create a very, very healthy reality for Klal Yisrael. Two things we need to keep in mind when we talk about this topic. Number one, this is the Metzias, period. This is the reality. The reality is, and it would be foolish to try to fight against it, the reality is that Jews and human beings and people are created differently. Those are the facts. So no matter how badly a parent wants a child to be a certain way, or a child wants a parent to be a certain way, or a sibling wants a sibling to be a certain way, or a husband wants a wife to be a certain way, right? There are inherent differences that are programmed into the human mind and into the human body and into the human neshama that allows us to be different. And we can't fight against the reality. That's point number one. Point number two, and I'll elaborate on both of these points. Point number two is that diversity, that individual expression, is actually a good thing for Klal Yisrael. We sometimes think, well, okay, it might be the reality, but it's a painful reality. No, it's not a painful reality. It's actually a very healthy and good thing for the Jewish people to have different types of servants of Hashem. That's a very healthy thing, and it creates a stronger Klal Yisrael, not, God forbid, a weaker Klal Yisrael. Again, going back to point number one, this is the Metzius, this is the reality. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Nun Chesam and Aleph, Tana Rabbana, Haroa Achluse Yisrael. If you see myriads of Jews, if you see a large gathering of Jews, you say the bracha of Baruch Chacham Harazim. If you see 600,000 Jews come together, you make a bracha, Baruch Chacham Harazim. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Chacham Harazim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with your great wisdom, only you know the secret of each of these souls, how each one is created in a unique fashion. Says the Gemara, She'ein Daitam Dom Ezelezeh, that no two people think exactly alike. Ve'ein Partzufein Dom Ezelezeh, and no two people look exactly alike. Even twins who look so similar don't look exactly alike. No two people look alike, and no two people think alike. A similar Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Chesam, and Aleph, Tanya Hayrei Meir Omer, Bishlosha Dvarim Adam Mishtana Mechaveh, a remarkable thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed into every one of us, physically. In three matters, a person is different than his friend, than his contemporary. Bekol, Bemara, Uvadas. In his voice, no two people sound alike, no two people look exactly alike, and no two people think exactly alike. So I'll share with you a great comment that I saw from the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. The Beis Yisrael was the fourth Ger Rebbe, and I saw that Rabbi Fran, in one of his English volumes on Chumash, brings this from Rav Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Kiva Eger as well. So whether you're more Litvish or more Hasidish, you can buy into this Var, because it comes from both worlds, the world of the Baal Shem Tov and the world of the Vilna Gaon, so to speak. They explained this as follows. Imagine, you're walking down the street, and you happen to have blue eyes, and you pass someone who has brown eyes. So you go over to the person, you say, you know what, I'm so upset at you. I'm so angry at you. What did I do? I'm so sorry. I feel terrible. What did I do to upset you? Can't you see I have blue eyes? Why do you have brown eyes? It really bothers me that you have brown eyes. Right? Now, I think most of us would probably view a person who did such a thing as you know, very unhealthy in mind. Right? To go over to a person and say, why is it, right? Why is it that your hair is this color, my hair is that color? Why is your nose a little pointier than my nose? So said the Beis Yisrael, instead of Shlomo Eger, well, the same way it's irrational to tell a person, I'm upset at you because you don't look like me, it's the very same line of the Gemara that says, no two people look alike, and no two people think alike. So why do we get so upset when someone doesn't think like me? I'm willing to understand that someone looks different from me, and that's okay, that seems to be okay. I don't seem to be too angry about that. Again, unless I'm a person who, you know, God forbid, has that delusional Nazi mentality, if you don't have the blonde hair and the blue eyes, right, then something's wrong with you. Right? But that's not healthy. We understand that that's not healthy. So why don't we think the same way when it comes to thinking differently? Why can't we accept that the same way no two people look alike, and that is okay, no two people think alike? That's the reality by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. As the Gemara tells us in two places, Brachos Nun Chesem and Aleph, and Sanhedrin Lamed Chesem and Aleph. And to negate that truth, and to fight against it, and to pretend that all Jews have to think exactly the same, and all Jews have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly the same, that's not the way we were created. Not physically, and not spiritually. The Megala Mukos tells us that our name, Yisrael, the very name, the Megala Mukos was a great Kabbalist from Krakow, the Megala Mukos says, Yisrael, our name, Yisrael, the name that we carry till this day, B'nai Yisrael, Yisrael is Rashi Tevos, is an acronym for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters of the Torah, which is the Kabbalistic tradition. If we count our Torah, it's not exactly 600,000, and countless Mefarshim deal with that. But we know 600,000 is a very important number that does appear many times in the Torah. And there are 600,000 essential letters of the Torah. Corresponding to those 600,000 letters, another name that the Jewish people are known by, Yeshurun, stands for Yesh Shishim Riboy Neshamos, or Nefashos. There are 600,000 primary Jewish souls. There are more than 600,000 people in the world, and more than 600,000 Jews in the world. Right? But there are 600,000 essential souls, from which we all
receive a spark of our neshama. So that means every Jew, so to speak, has a letter, has a corresponding letter of the Torah. And again, to try to impose that this neshama should attach itself to this letter, or to this mahalach, or to this approach in Yiddishkeit, which is not that person's approach, again, is a perversion of the Torah. It apostles the Torah. It perverts, so to speak, that spiritual Torah that we're creating by being who we're supposed to be. To be able to look at another Jew and say, listen, you're on a different path than me, but that's okay. And the walls are transparent. And I am panim l'Torah, and elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and you'll walk on your path, you'll be your letter, you'll express your neshama in your way, and I'll walk on my path, and I'll find my letter in the Torah in my way. Rav Pam, Zatzal, a shir from Torah Vadas, once gave a shmuz where he spoke about the importance of being sensitive to other people. And as an example of a lack of sensitivity to another person, Rav Pam spoke about his grandfather. His grandfather was a rav of a community in Chedlitz, which was in Russia. And that particular community was a mix of Hasidim and non-Hasidim. And he said his grandfather, out of sensitivity to the Hasidim, wouldn't eat gebruchs in any way. Wouldn't let it be known that he ate gebruchs on Pesach. He did. But similarly, he ate gebruchs. He felt that wasn't his minhag. He ate gebruchs. But out of respect for the local Hasidim, which again were numerous, he Rav Pam's grandfather had tremendous respect, and he only, you know, ate gebruchs in a way that it wouldn't be offensive to anyone else. So Rav Pam said, that was a far cry, that was in stark contrast to the Rav, the previous Rav of the town, before his grandfather. He said the previous Rav of the town was so anti the Hasidim that on Pesach, get this, on Pesach he literally used to hang a matzah ball in his window. He would hang a matzah ball in his window to show the Hasidim that gebruchs is nonsense. So Rav Pam said, that's nonsense. To be so disrespectful of someone else who has a different minhag than you, has a different custom than you, thinks a little bit differently than you. You know, hang a matzah ball in the window for all of Pesach as if to say to the Hasidim, right, that your minhagim are worthless in my mind. That's a terrible zilzal in an understanding of the neshama of a Jew that each and every one of us has been given. And secondly, like I said, diversity amongst the Jewish people is actually a good thing. It's a very healthy thing. Famous piece from the Chafetz Chaim in his writings on Chumash and Parshas Re'eh, where the Chafetz Chaim was once asked by a fellow, why is it that there are Hasidim and Misnagdim? And even amongst the Hasidim, there are so many different types of Hasidim. You have Breslov Hasidim, you have Babov Hasidim, you have Belz Hasidim, those are just the bees. Right? You have so many Hasidim, each one with their own Minhagim and their own Rebbes and their own Zachin. Everyone's got their thing. So the Chafetz Chaim said, before you ask me about why there's so many different types of Jews, let me ask you a simple question. Again, this is printed in Chafetz Chaim al Torah in Parshas Re'eh. It's a beautiful piece. The Chafetz Chaim says back to him, so let me ask you a question. And why does the Russian Tsar have so many different types of soldiers in his army? What does he need an army and a navy and an air force? And again, so many subcategories within those categories within his army. Wouldn't it be enough to just have foot soldiers, or just have tanks, or just have airplanes? What do you need such a mix for? So the Chafetz Chaim said, you know the answer to that question. The answer is, because when you're fighting a war, you need a diversified army. You need to have people who are fighting on sea and fighting in air. You need to have people who are fighting on land. You need to have people on their feet. You have to need people in tanks. You need to have people shooting from a distance. You need people shooting up close. So the Chafetz Chaim said it's the same thing in Melchemes HaYetzer. When it comes to fighting against the Yetzirah, when it comes to fighting as part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army, when it comes to fighting for Geula, we need different types of soldiers. Some soldiers are going to be focused primarily on Torah. Some soldiers are going to be focused primarily on Tefillah. Some soldiers are going to be focused primarily on Chesed. But to be able to strike that balance in such a way, to win the war, the Chafetz Chaim says that's what's most important, that we win the battle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter that, you know, this soldier should be this way or that soldier should be that way. The goal is that we're able to pull together our collected resources and efforts to be able to win that battle against Melchemes HaYetzer and to bring the Geula Shleima. Now, it would be unfair to speak about this topic without touching. We only have a few minutes left. But I want to touch on a very delicate subsection, obviously, of this topic, something that certainly is a contemporary problem, a contemporary discussion, right? And it's something that's very real in the world today, and I'm not going to shy away from it. I hope I'll still be invited back next time, but I'm not going to shy away from it. And Baruch Hashem, we have a mixed crowd of men and women and people of different ages and different stages, and I'm sure many of us have different outlooks and attitudes when it comes to our Avodas Hashem. And I'm a father of three daughters, and I live with my wife as well, so I live amongst women, but it's so important that we emphasize as Jews that part of this healthy expression, and again, this is not targeting the men or the women, right? But part of being healthy Ovdei Hashem is a recognition that the same way that there's Beis Shammai souls and there's Beis Hillel souls, the same way that there are different types of people who are focused on Torah and Tefillah and Chesed and each aspect of what it means to be a Jew, The same thing is true when it comes to men and women. And I know in our contemporary world there's a great push and a great effort when we talk about equality. And it's a perversion of the use of the word equality. Because equality doesn't mean that we have to be exactly the same. That's the misnomer of the way that equality is used. That equality means that everyone has to be entitled to do the exact same things. And that's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. That does not create a stronger Klal Yisrael and a stronger army, again, in the Melchemes HaYetzer that the Chafetz Chaim was describing. I'll share with you a comment I saw from a sefer called Lachmei Toda. Lachmei Toda says, we know in Parshas Achrei Mos, the pasuk tells us, "Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim asher yashavtem ba lo sasu." Here a new pshat, an interesting interpretation of a pasuk. Like the deeds of the land of Mitzrayim asher yashavtem ba, in which you lived, lo sasu. Don't be like the Mitzrayim. Well, what does it mean, don't be like the Mitzrayim? The Mitzrayim did a lot of things. What does it mean, don't be like the Mitzrayim? The sefer Lachmei Toda highlights a gemara in Maseches Sotah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And the Medrash Rabbah points it out as well. Perhaps you've heard this tradition, that the Egyptians, one of the ways that they tried to crush the morale, and to crush the spirit of Klal Yisrael, and in order to confuse them, is that they had men doing women's work and women doing men's work. They sent the men Dafka to do women's work, what was traditionally considered women's work, and vice versa. Says the Torah in Parshas Achrei Mos, explains the Lachmei Toda, Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim, this aspect of the world of Mitzrayim, where men and women were used interchangeably to carry out the same avoda or to carry out each other's avoda. That's a perversion of the role of an understanding of who we are as people. And Mitzrayim used that again to break the Jewish spirit. Because the Jewish people have an understanding that whether I do a lot or whether I do a little, whether I'm focused on this aspect or I'm focused on that aspect, if I'm serving Hashem with authenticity and sincerity and passion, and I'm bringing of myself the Hevel Hevi Gam Hu, if I'm bringing myself, then I'm able to what? Then I'm able to be a true Eved Hashem. And I don't have to look to the other side of the Mechitza to say, I want to do this or I want to do that. That each person should be able to look and figure out what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from me in a deep and authentic way. In Kiseitzei, in Parshas Kiseitzei, the Torah warns us about the danger of even wearing the begadim, the outer trappings of the opposite gender. Lo yekli gever al isha, v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha. A man shouldn't wear a woman's garb and a woman shouldn't wear a man's garb. It's very fascinating. If you look in the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, the Targum Yonasan says an example of men's garments is tzitzis and tefillin. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something that to me is so powerful. What's the end of the pasuk? The Torah says a man shouldn't wear a woman's garb, and a woman shouldn't wear a man's clothing. Ki tovas Hashem alokecha kol osei el, because it's an abomination. And Rashi explains why it could be used in a very perverse way, in a very rational way. But the Targum Yonasan says what it's referring to, men's garments refers to tzitzis and tefillin. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, how could that be? How could it be that tefillin, if worn by the wrong person, is called to'eva? To'eva means an abomination. How could that be? How could holy tefillin ever be a to'eva? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out, because if it's not for you, then it's a to'eva. It could be the holiest thing in the world. But if you're trying to become something that you're not meant to be, if a man is trying to do what a woman does, or a woman's trying to do what a man's trying to do, or if a man's trying to do what his friend is trying to do, or a woman's trying to do what her friend is trying to do, it could be a very spiritual thing that the person is seeking, and it could be something that's very desirable in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's not for you, if it's not meant for you, to'avas Hashem, it becomes an abomination. It's a perversion of the essence of your soul. It's degrading to yourself to undermine your own chelek haneshama. I want to come back to something that I hinted to at the beginning. Every day when we daven, we say the same Shemona Esrei over and over again, and it's so difficult. But one of the phrases that we encounter at the very beginning of Shemona Esrei actually gives us tremendous insight into the sense of being part of a tzibur and being individuals at the same time. Every Shemona Esrei begins, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. Elokeinu, our God, ve'elokei avoseinu, the God of our forefathers. And furthermore, we say what? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'elokei Yaakov. There's a tshuva, Shalos and Tshuvas Panim Meiros, from Rav Meir Eisenstadt. Rav Meir Eisenstadt was the Rebbe of Rav Yonasan Eibschitz. Lived in the late 17th century, early part of the 18th century. The Rebbe of Rav Yonasan Eibschitz. He was a very big posek. Eisenstadt is in Austria. And in the Shalos and Tshuvas Panim Meiros, he says that he was asked by someone, why is it that we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Would it not be enough to just say Elokei, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Listen to what he writes. He says, the reason that we bother to write it the way that we do, She'ein la'odam lahamin ve'lokam mitzad mina gavosav. Because it's not enough for Yitzchak to say, well, my father was a God-fearing person, and that's enough for me.
It's not enough to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to believe in Hashem, because that's the minhag in my family, that we believe in Hashem. Ki zeh minhag ha'umos, because that has a certain foolishness that we find by the nations of the world. El mitzad ha'chakira, go discover Hashem in your own way. U'lakach amar da es elokei avicha v'avdehu. There has to be a balance between what? Recognizing elokei avicha, but also serving Hashem in your own way. And he goes on and he says, if it would have just said, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, you would think Avram went out. Avram was the mammon who discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and taught the world. And Yitzchak rested on his laurels and said, my father was Avram and I'm Yitzchak. But Yitzchak didn't do that. Yitzchak went out and discovered Elokei Yitzchak. And Yaakov went out and discovered Elokei Yaakov. Now the Baal Shem Tov highlights, he doesn't point this out here, but the Baal Shem Tov highlighted that that's exactly the answer to Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. That how careful we need to strike a balance. On the one hand, I do believe because my parents believe. And that's our connection to the Masorah back to our Sinai. But at the same time, there has to be a sense of Elokeinu, a sense of personal ownership over my Avodas Hashem. While again, it's within the framework of Elokei Avoseinu, but there's something unique and personal about my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Parsha of Vayigash, we count, we begin to meet the various members of Yaakov's family, the 70 who went down to Mitzrayim. I have to work it out, 69, 70, right? But they're counted here and they're counted again at the beginning of Shemos. And Rashi comments at the beginning of Shemos, why do we have to list again the names of those who went down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov? We've already encountered them in Parshas Vayigash. To which Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to count us. He mentions us by name. He counts us the same way Hashem counts every star in the sky when He takes it out and when He puts it away, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every star is accounted for. It's an expression of Hashem's love for each and every individual. That notion of being compared to the stars is very interesting to me. We say every night by Maariv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesader Es HaKochavim Berakia Kirtzonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesader Es HaKochavim. Hashem arranges the stars, which is interesting because if you look to the sky on a starry night when you can actually see the stars, it's hard to imagine that every star is arranged precisely. You kind of think like Kadosh Baruch Hu dug Kiviyachal into his pocket, took some stars, threw them up. There's trillions of stars. Trillions of stars. Many of which are, there's enough stars to the naked eye, more than we would think would be Mesudar. Hashem is Mesader Es HaKochavim. It's a very unusual thing. Rav Simcha Buno Persistcha, it's quoted by Rav Gedalia Shur and the Or Gedalia in several places. Sometimes a person's looking at a sugya in the Gemara. Maral explains why this is on a deeper level. But you're looking at a sugya in the Gemara, and to piece together the entire puzzle, you need a little Gemara here, you need a little piece over here. Right? Like, why is the Gemara not more Mesudar? The answer is that it is very Mesudar. It is very Mesudar. Rav Simcha Buno Persistcha said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesader Es HaKochavim Berakia Kirtzono. That if you look at the stars, you would think that the stars are haphazard, that everything's just all over the place. Sometimes you're trying to find the sugya, and you're looking a little bit here, a little bit there, and you have to piece together the whole puzzle. Right? It seems like it's all over the place. But says the Simcha Buno Persistcha, the same way that the stars, which seem so haphazard, are in fact very precise, the same thing is true in the Torah. If a pasuk is inserted here, or a Maimar Chazal is here, or if a particular agadata ends up in a particular mesechta, there's a reason. It appears there for a particular reason, and we need to delve deeply into it and to try to figure out why that is. But this notion of stars being so precisely arranged in the skies reminds us, of course, of the pasuk that Avram Avinu was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Habeinu Hashamayim Usvar HaKochavim. Go outside, Avram, count the stars. Ko Yazaracha. Which Pasha Psha means that Hashem says your children to be numerous like the stars. Again, whatever that means, the stars are certainly many more times over than the sheer numbers of Klal Yisrael. But I always thought that perhaps you could say the following part. Misaderas HaKochavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges the stars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every star its place, even though it seems like they're just one of a trillion stars in the galaxy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, your children are going to be like the stars. It's going to look like they're all doing the same thing. It's going to look sometimes, right, that there's no individuality, that they don't have their own space, or they're not particularly assigned to a particular avoda. But remind your children that just like each star is chaviv, is counted, is precious, and is precisely arranged in the heavens above, so too, every single Jew, svora kol chavim, ko yezarach, your children will be just the same. It'll look superficially, like they're all one and the same, the Jewish people all do the same thing. But there's room to breathe, again, that individual spirit into everything that we do. And perhaps this can offer us an explanation, an answer, of a very, very puzzling medrash. The medrash says in Tana de Be'aliyahu, that a Jew has to say to himself time and time again, Masai yagiu masai lamasei avosai. The Medrash says a Jew has to wake up in the morning and say, when am I going to achieve what the Avos achieved? When are my actions going to reach the actions of the Avos, the levels of the Avos. That's a hard thing. To imagine that I'm going to be on the level of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, I'm going to be on that level. It's impossible. These are the greatest people, and for good reason. What does it mean? Lefira Chayisi Omer says in Tanad Be'ayo that every Jew is Chayiv Lomar Masaya Givumase Lamase Avosai. When am I going to be like the Avos? It's a very daunting medrash. Perhaps the answer is something that I saw in the writings of Michal Zlotcher in the Sefer Mayim Rabim, the Lukutei Shas, in the back of the Sefer. He says, what does it mean you have to say I want to be like the Avos? Hainu. Kamo Sheheim Chidshu Kol Echad Avod Mechudeshes Bebechina Acheres. The same way that there's Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The same way that Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valei were each offering their own novel expression of what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way that they discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own way. That's what it means I have to be like them. I may not leave a mark on the world that's as broad and as impressive and as everlasting as the Avos. But I have to be myself in the same way that they were able to each pave their path in Avodas Hashem in a healthy and balanced and proper way. So too, each and every one of us has to try to be like the Avos in that regard, to find our chelek in Torah. I want to just conclude with a story and one final Chanukah insight. It's a beautiful story where we saw Chorkover, the second Chorkover Rebbe. Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, the Lubliner Rav, was one of his Chasidim, and he once spent a Shabbos Bereishis in Chorkov. At that time, Rav Meir Shapiro was a young Rav from Sonic, and he traveled to be by the Chorkov Rebbe for Shabbos. And in a very uncharacteristic way, right before Musaf, the Chorkov Rebbe turned to the Gabbai and said, "I'm being Mechabi Rav Meir Shapiro to Daven Musaf." That was a big to-do. Usually the Gabbayim were Mesad to those things. The Rebbe himself picked Rav Meir Shapiro to Daven. He says, "Yes, I want you to Daven Musaf." So, Rav Meir Shapiro, certainly known for his Torah, got up and led the tefillah, and it was unbelievable. It was so inspiring. He had such a beautiful voice. He had such a koach of being a chazan. It's a skill. It's a talent. Some people have it, and some people don't. Right? And there people are so captivated by the way that Rav Meir led the davening that Shabbos. And afterwards, he was meeting with the Chorkov Rebbe. He had yichidus with the Chorkov Rebbe, and he said, "Rebbe, you know, you selected me from amongst everyone to lead the davening, and I hope I did a good job." He said, "Oh, you did an unbelievable job." So he says, "Rebbe, maybe I'm in the wrong profession. You know, I'm in the profession of teaching Torah and building yeshivas, but maybe that's where I'm headed. That's where my eye is. That's where my mind and my heart is. But maybe I should be a chazan. The way that I moved the crowd today, the way you're telling me, right? The way that it seemed that it was. Maybe I should put my kochos into tefillah." So the Chorkov Rebbe said, "I'll answer you based on a story from the Rebbe of Zusha." He said the Rebbe of Zusha one time was known. He would travel around very often. He traveled to a place called Zalkova. And there was a certain Rav Yuspa who was giving shir at the time. And he walked in, and this Rav Yuspa looked at the Rav Zusha, and he saw this person is not a regular guy. And he was very attracted to him, and he spent some time with him, and he started talking to him. And Rav Zusha was very much betzina in his Avodas Hashem. He hid very much his madrigos in Avodas Hashem. And they were talking, and he said, why do I feel drawn to you?" So Rav Zusha says, "I don't know. I know how to daven a little bit." So he says, "Maybe you could teach me how to daven a little bit, the way that you daven a little bit." So he started teaching him the sodos of tefillah, and he was very captivated by him. So afterwards, he was so attached to Rav Zusha, he said, "Rav Zusha, I can't abandon you. I want to follow you and learn all of the sodos of tefillah. I want to learn how to daven like that." And Rav Zusha said, "Chas v'shalom. Your avoda is to stay here in this town and to teach Torah, to do exactly what you're doing." And that's exactly what the Chorkov Rebbe said to Rav Meir Shapiro. You have a koch in tefillah, an unbelievable koch in tefillah. And I know that if you continue to develop it and to nurture it, that koch of tefillah will be that much stronger. But I'm telling you, Rav Meir, your avoda is to build Torah, the Olam HaTorah. Your avoda is to build yeshivos. And it's very hard sometimes for us to identify. We don't have a Chorkov Rebbe to tell us necessarily exactly what our mission in this world is. A Talmud of the Maharsham, we got smicha from the Maharsham. Rav Elazar Reinman, he was once with his Rebbe, the Maharsham, and he gave him his smicha. He said to him, "I know you have a netiyah towards learning Zohar. I know you like learning Pilpul when you learn Gemara. I'm warning you right now. You're becoming, I just gave you smicha, you're becoming a rav, you're becoming a posek. You don't have a right to look at those svarim. I know you have a netiyah towards those svarim. You don't have a right to study those svarim. And every moment you take away from studying practical halacha, which is needed for you to lead your kehila, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon in Shemayim. For every bit of time that's spent looking at other things." Where did the Maharsham get such an idea? From his Rebbe. When the Maharsham learned by the Minchas Chinuch, he said the Minchas Chinuch said basically the same thing to him. He said, "When you come to Daven in the morning and you recite the Karbanos," he says, "during the week you can recite the Karbanos. On Shabbos, don't recite Karbanos." Why? Because the karbanos that we recite, some of those karbanos we don't offer on Shabbos. Which means that when you're saying karbanos on Shabbos, it's together Torah l'shma. Well, you don't have time to say karbanos. You're a posik. You need to poke your head back into Sifrei Halacha and to clarify in a better way, Horah, to be able to paskin in a better way. Look how precise a person's mission, again, is in this world. How to find it is not so simple. But to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesader Esek Kochavim, Koi Yezarach, every Jew is like that star. Al Tirgazu Baderach. Don't be frustrated by someone else's Avodah Hashem. That was the lesson of Yosef and Yehuda, the reconciliation that took place in this week's Parsha, which again leads the way to Mashiach. So I told you, I'll leave you with just one final Chanukah idea. A beautiful comment from Rav Kook. In the Siddur of Rav Kook, the Olas Raya, Rav Kook writes as follows. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, we know that the Bracha, that we no longer recite, but the message is still relevant to us. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Says Rav Kook, why do we say the Bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah? Why don't we say Lahadlik Neros Chanukah? In fact, we're lighting more than one Ner. Explains Rav Kook so beautifully. Ki kol ama'oros kulam b'chol pratiyoseim akol heim ner echad. Because all of the various lights, each one taking its own place, so to speak, in our menorah. Essentially, if we understand ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, it all stems from one light. It all stems from the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The or ein sof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kein lo neros nemru v'bracha shel Chanukah. We don't say lahadlik ner, lahadlik neros Chanukah. Right? We say lahadlik ner Chanukah. Lahadlik ner Chanukah. Because on Chanukah we're taking again all of those various candles, all those different expressions of light, and we're binding them together to form that one wholesome light, which is the light of the Geula Shlema. So Amir Tz Hashem, we should be very proud of our avodah, whatever it may be, to work hard and to think and to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly it is that makes each and every one of us unique, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and sent us to this world, in this place, at this time. And that Amir Tz Hashem, each of us in our own way, will identify our mission in this world. We'll be able to express that individuality in the most healthy way possible, and in that way we'll give a tremendous nachas ruach to Avinu Shebashamayim. Thank you so much.